My name is Joseph Chen, and I'm a missionary with an organization called Youth of the Mission. I've been in the missions work for the last 20 years, and prior before serving in YWAM, I was a youth pastor with the Anglican Church called Chapel of the Holy Spirit. I was also the chaplain for St. Andrew Secondary School. In that time, I did it for 8 years, so I've been in ministry for about 28 years for now. During that time when I was in CHS, an Anglican church, I was involved in starting a dance group called Eternal Splashes. That was in 1995. It was basically a group of young people using creative arts, i.e. ballet, rap, street dancing, all sorts of creative arts discipline, pulling them together with choreographed musicals, and that we will place these teams onto the streets of Orchard Road. The inaugural, the first ES camp was held in Cathedral. I'm not sure if anyone is still here that was part of that camp, but that was back in 1994 in December. And it was a group of, I think, about 60 to 80 young people from all across Anglican churches. We did training here, and then we staged performances in all across different parts. And from that point onwards, we started going out to different parts of Singapore, even out of Singapore into other nations to do performing arts work. And during that time, St. Andrew's Cathedral was a major part of the participation of that ministry. And I remember at that time, you had a ministry service called the Chosen Generation. Can I see a show of hands? How many of you were part of that Chosen Generation before? Only one. Okay, yeah. Oh, everyone chosen, but the only one special chosen. Yeah. So that was part of the group. And I remember I used to come and speak. I think the time pastor was Dennis, all right? And I remember a couple of names, people like Michelle, Gary, Joseph Salim, and Jennifer Heng, and all those people that I used to interact with at that point. Now, some of these names you might be familiar with. And then after that, our path separated because I moved on and I came into YWAM and I began to do more other different sorts of missions work. So I thought I would introduce to you, this is YWAM. This is the organization that I have the privilege to work with, to serve and to lead them. I'm the national leader for Youth on the Mission Singapore, and there are all together more than 60 of us, full-time, excluding spouse and children, and we come from about 15 different nations. When we talk about YWAM, YWAM is not just a workplace for us. YWAM is a community. Why? Because the people in YWAM live together. We stay together. Our workplace is also our home. So most Singaporeans have our own homes that we go back to, but all the foreigners and all the children actually live together in one community. And we live in the most international spot in Singapore, where most Singaporeans will drive past to eat, but will never dare to be seen walking along the streets. Where is that? Geylang, that's right. Not Ojora, it's Geylang. So where is Geylang? Geylang is the red light district of Singapore. It's a spot whereby most Singaporeans, especially if you're in full-time ministries, you will not want to be seen walking along the red light districts, right? But you won't mind going there to find food. In fact, the most famous food in Singapore is the beef kway teow in Lorong 9 and the frog leg porridge. Yeah, tried it before? Well, YWAM is just next to the beef kway teow. So YWAM, being a Christian community, a missionary community, plonk into the darkest part of Singapore. How do we, as a missions community, be the church within and outside? You cannot avoid. When you talk about prostitution, you talk about drugs, you talk about trafficking, you talk about all the vices that's going on, we see them every day on our streets. So how do we spell Christianity? How do we spell the gospel? How do you take the good news out from a Christian community who sings and dance and worship just exactly like you do this morning, out there amongst the broken and amongst the poor? Well, I have prepared a lot to talk about today, and because halfway as I was preparing, I realized that I've got just way too much to talk about, so I contacted Hambali, Pastor Hambali, and I asked him whether can I have another Sunday. So I'm coming back again in February. So this is a bit thick skin that I volunteered to say that can I come back again, because I've got so much that I'd like to share with you. Because you know why? When I was a youth pastor in the Chapel of the Holy Spirit, like you, I have started a new service like this. And it is so exciting. It is so exciting because all of you are new. No one here is an old-timer in some ways, because this is brand new. You have a blank page to start off with, and where would you begin? You have a blank page. You have a blank page that God has given to you to now write onto this blank page. What kind of a service community do you want to be? What kind of community do you want to be? What kind of a community do you want to craft in such a manner whereby not just that God is here and that He delights to be with you, but that the guests, the friends that come, when they come in touch with you, they will say, I love this community and I just want to be a part of it. How do you do that? So I desire to just spend time to work with you on this. But before I do that, I thought I would like to... So Mbali asked me what is my topic, and I struggled to give him a topic. He asked me about 4 to 5 weeks ago, and I kept on postponing it until I couldn't postpone it anymore because he kept on texting me. And so I gave him two topics to work on. And this is the one that we came down to, that we want to call 1130 an authentic and an attractive community. A community, a church service community, whereby you are real in what you talk about. So you don't just talk about it, but you walk out the talk, as well as you are an attractive people. An attractive people towards people who come to visit you and towards one another as well. And so I thought to begin with, let's start off with her missions to the world. I think that's important because you are not a club. You didn't sign up to be a club to come here and just have fun with each other. This service here has a mission. And that mission, no man can write that mission because Jesus has written that mission. So we cannot add on to it, neither can we take it away. So when we look at 1130 and the missions to the world, what then is the missions to the world? And I'd like to start off with this thing called the Great Commission, which is called the full version of the Great Commission. Now, some of you here, you have long hair, right? And when you have long hair, Grace, you've got long hair. So I'm sure you plait your hair. Do you plait your hair? When you plait your hair, how many strands do you use? 3 strands. The Great Commission consists of 3 strands. What are the 3 strands? The first one is in Mark 16, verse 15. Shall we just read together? Ready? Go. And he said to them, so this is Jesus saying to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to every individual human being, including the prostitutes, including the druggies, including those who are across the streets in the little Myanmar community, including all those people who come by your way, including Arab Street, where a huge homeless community lives. You know, a stone throw from St. Andrew's Cathedral, you actually hit a homeless community. Where are they? Bras Basah Complex, upstairs at the Void Deck. There's a large homeless community there, and one of them, a Christian, attends St. Andrew's Cathedral. When we first met him, he was 45 years old, a Chinese. He comes to the cathedral. He's been homeless for 30 years. A Singaporean. At the age of 15, he decided he'll walk out. He doesn't want to live in a house. He's been homeless for 30 years. Now he is an evangelist. He comes to your church. He's an evangelist. He's very on fire. When he met us, he said to us, can you help us to start a church service amongst the homeless people? So through him, he gathered together 8 homeless uncles. And he comes to YWAM, and we do Bible study with them on a weekly basis. And now, some of them are already baptized at Paya Lebar Methodist Church. So I'm telling you that you are surrounded by a sea of endless people that have a heart and the readiness to hear the gospel. And Jesus says, I plan this service here that you and I will bring the gospel to every individual person. Every individual person. So the first strand of the full gospel of the Great Commission is bring the gospel to every individual person because they are valued and made in the image of God. The second one is this. It's Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Let's try to read this together, starting from go. Yeah, ready, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always. So this one, oh, sorry, to the very ends of the age. Okay, this scripture talks about go and make disciples of all the nations. This word nations is not geographical. Because geographical, all the nations of the world currently now have been reached. Every nation in the world have heard the gospel. In fact, including those who are underground, every nation of the world already has a church. So if you look at geographical nations, this is a very doable project. But this is not about geographical nations. This word nations has got to do with this word called all peoples, i.e. people groups, ethnic groups, all the different tribes, all the different people groups that you and I may not know. So in Singapore, we've got many different groups because we have a lot of nations that's gathered in our mixture, and they are and they exist here. So Jesus says, go and make disciples. In other words, change people groups, change communities, change the texture of the communities. How? Baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, when you hear the word baptizing them, what comes to your mind? Water baptism. But this is not what it means. This word baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is not about water baptism. Now, let's look at this word baptizing. Give me another word for the word baptizing. You can talk back to me. Please do. Give me another word for the word baptizing. Anointing. That's a Christian word. Give me another word. Get wet. Good. Take a spray. Okay, what else? Give me other words. Hey? Christianing. Wow, it's very cheap. Okay, give me a simpler word. Immersion. Very good. Immersion. Now, let's look at this community here. Go and make disciples of all the Miamis in Peninsula Plaza. Listen to this, yeah? Go and make disciples of all the Miamis in Peninsula Plaza, immersing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you here, you know how to make achar? Okay, what's achar? Kimchi. This is everybody knows. You know how to make kimchi? Yeah? How do you do kimchi? You buy the cabbage, right? And then you soak the cabbage, you rub the cabbage with salt. Okay, good. And then after that, what do? Soak it for a while. And then what do you do next? Wash it away. And then you soak it with vinegar as well as sugar and probably garlic and chili. Then you soak it underground, right? So what happens with the salt? What does the salt do with the cabbage? It extracts away all the water. Now, what does vinegar do with the cabbage? It changes the texture of the cabbage. Watch this. Go and make disciples of all the Miamis in Peninsula Plaza. Change the texture of these people. How? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What is in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? It is the fullness of who God is. You step into a community. You look at where they are and what areas of their lives does not reflect God's character and is destroying their lives. And therefore, you step into the community and you immerse them with God's character. How? Through your expertise, through your music, through your relationships, through the different forms and the different ways that you can do. How? By teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. What I desire to do is that whenever I have an opportunity with you, I want to unpack this whole Great Commission to you in very practical ways. And I believe you can do it. You can actually step into a community and change the texture of the community. if there is a community there that's killing babies because they do not have access to healthcare and therefore they bury baby, then you step into the community by changing the texture of the community to primary healthcare. And God can use different forms and different ways through the church to bring impact and to change the texture of that community. Okay, that's the second strand. The third strand, and that is about all communities in all areas of the society. The third strand of the Great Commission has got to do with, oh, I wanted to show you this. Okay, so how does God want us to do it? He has put the church right in the middle. There's no other way that God can reveal himself except through the church. Well, of course, he does it through a creation. But he has chosen to reveal himself through the church. And where's the church? The church is here. The church is not here. The church only come together here for Sunday worships. But from Monday through to Saturday, the church is actually here. And what does it mean that when the church is out here to go and make disciples of people in the arts entertainment, to go and make disciples of the business factor, or to go and make disciples of the communications, education, family, government, healthcare, science and faculty, science and technology? Every single one of them review the character of God. What does that mean? In the field of the arts entertainment, God presents himself as an artist. His character is beauty. He has aesthetics. God's character is harmony. He loves beauty and he loves the aesthetic of anything that's beautiful. In the field of the business, God is a provider and he provides. He looks into innovations and he looks at how to create opportunities for the poor to elevate them from poverty and to find gain employment. In the field of the communications, God speaks. What does he speak? He speaks truth. He reveals truth. He exposes things in the darkness and he brings them into the light. That's God's character. In the field of the education, God reveals himself as a teacher. And as a teacher, what does he do? He comes alongside children and he releases them. He educates them with knowledge and wisdom and he releases them and champions them towards the fullest potential. That's what education stands for. In the field of the family, God revealed himself as a father and a mother. And as a father and a mother, he loves and he gives nurture. In the field of the government, God reveals himself as the King of Kings. As King of Kings, he stands for righteousness and justice. In the field of the healthcare, science and technology, God reveals himself as a creator and as a healer. In that field, God reveals himself that he creates, he innovates, and he finds opportunity to lead people into a place of discovering new things. You see, what I'm trying to tell us is this. In this context of the Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, soaking that industry, soaking that community with the fullness of who God is. How? By teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. The Word of God has the power to change communities. The Word of God has the power to change nations. And he has given that power to all of us here within the church. The third field, the third strand that we talk about in the Great Commission has got to do with the poor and the needy. This has got to do with reaching out to those who cannot help themselves. When we talk about the Great Commission, we must never take out those who are poor and needy. God's heart is always for those who are poor and who are needy before him. And his heart is to ask the church to always create space and to open up space for the poor and the needy to come to know him. You know, I told you that YWAM is in the red light district. It is not difficult for us to lead those prostitutes to become Christians. I tell you what's harder, is to find a church that will be willing to accept them. We once brought a street lady who just come to faith about a couple of weeks, and that street lady got baptized within the church setting. And then because of inconvenience, it was way too far for the street lady. So we tried to find a church that was nearby where the street lady was living. We brought the street lady to the church. And after the service, the senior pastor came up to us and said, please don't bring such people into our church ever again. We cannot accept them. So my question to you is this, 11:30. What kind of people will you accept into your community? Do they have to be like you? Do they have to behave? Or is this community an open community that welcomes all people? That's a question that you need to answer. So when we look into an authentic and attractive community, what does that mean? So I want to spend some time summarizing what we talked about earlier on with God's Great Commission. Number one, is to reach the lost with the gospel using words and actions. Number two, is to soak the society with the fullness of God and His word through our daily lives. And number three, is to serve the poor with the Father's compassion and His acceptance amongst its people. I believe this is what you have been called to do. To do. This is your mission. This is why God planned new chapters, new services to continue to do this mission that He has given thousands of years ago, and because there are so many other people who are not yet reached and God wants us to begin to reach out to them. So, but I want to talk a little bit more about this community here, and I thought to make it something interesting, let's just do an interview, okay? Now, I have asked Hambali to help me with this, and I'm looking for four different types of people now. Okay, this is going to be quite difficult for some of you, but we'll try, all right? Number one, one who grew up in St. Andrew's Cathedral. A young adult, perhaps. Hambali, do you have a name for us? Okay, I give him the opportunity to just arrow, all right?
Young adult. Who grew up in Kenneth. Where are you?
Right, let's welcome Kenneth. You get a first seat. Number two, one who is newest to St. Andrew's Cathedral, a young adult.
Young adult, Jonathan. Where's Jonathan?
There you are. Okay, number three. A newest youth or YA leader who is not a full-time church worker.
Crystal, where are you?
All right, and the most senior YA leader.
Joel.
Joel. Hi, please take a seat. Take a seat, yeah, take a seat. Can we have microphones for them? Can we have microphones for them? I just want to, okay, I'm sorry that I put you on the spot. I purposely wanted to do this. Yeah, he didn't want to tell. I told him not to tell you. Yeah, because I'm afraid that if he tells you, then you won't come for service today. So I asked him not to do that. I just want to ask you some simple questions.
Sure.
Yeah, is that all right? Yeah, don't faint. Yeah. Okay. The first question is this: what do you look for in a church community?
I'm in the wrong chair. For me, it's about being the support and where you feel at home in the community. For church.
All right. Can you unpack for us, what do you mean by home?
When you go there, you walk in and you feel loved. You're not judged. You feel that you're at rest and peace.
Okay. I guess Jonathan, right?
Yeah.
What Jonathan has kind of like said for us, if I may summarize it into one word, is the word called belong. Am I right to say that? Belong. Okay. You are...
Kenneth.
Kenneth. Okay. What do you look for in the church community?
Why are you laughing? What I look for in the community is people who will pray with you, people who understand you. And because I grew up here for a long time, I have people who care, and they pray for me outside of church, not just in doing church. And also, I think belonging is very important to me.
Okay, good. Thank you. Crystal?
I think in terms of differences from different backgrounds, being very welcoming and accepting.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Crystal highlighted something for us. She said, we can be different, right? You said that you're saying that we can. You're saying that we don't need to be all the same. We can all be different, and yet there is an acceptance of one another, right? That we don't need to be conformed.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, very good. Joel.
I guess a community that loves God, understands the importance and the love of His word, and because of that, can encourage, can support one another through the gentle rebuke or reproof of the scriptures and helping and support and journeying together with one another.
Okay. Now, I'm going to summarize what he just said. He's speaking English. I'm also speaking English. But I just want to crystallize something that he just said. He's saying that a church community 11:30 service should be one that is hungry, had a deep hunger for God, and yet teachable. Okay? Is that rightly mentioned, the words in there?
Yeah.
Okay, watch this. So he uses the word hunger and teachability. She used the word diversity yet with acceptance. And your word is pretty similar to what he said, which is very much about belonging. And he uses the word called support and care for each other. Okay, let's move to the next question. Why did you stay? And why did you live or thought of leaving a church? Okay. Because I'm a guest, so I can ask questions, right? I'm at the most, you don't invite me back, that's fine. So, why did you stay, John?
Why did I stay here?
Yeah.
In HDB. In St. Andrews. I guess I see that what they're trying to build from the same context of HDB and the foundations of what it is. And I believe very strongly in the mission that they're trying to do, that what they're trying to reach out to, and it's worth staying for.
Okay. So John is saying it's worth staying because there is a focus. So it's not a clubhouse. They just come together to just enjoy each other's company, but there is a focus and a direction, and he believes in that focus and the direction. Good? Kenneth? Have you thought of leaving church?
I am a staff in SAC. So I don't have a choice. I'm kidding. No, like actually when I think about it, when I think back, there were times that I thought that maybe this is not a church I want to be for the rest of my life. But in the journey, God has been faithful, and my pastors have been very faithful in bringing me up. So when I think about why did I stay, I think the people that really mentored me and see me through is why I stayed.
Okay. So for Kenneth, his word will be relationships. Not just shallow relationships, but relationship with depth, because it's mentoring that you mentioned. Okay, Crystal.
Okay, I must first explain. I did thought of leaving before.
Yes.
And that was the time where there were also a bit of leadership changes.
Yes.
And I was a bit, questioning. But then what made me stay was because God didn't ask me to go.
Oh.
Yes. I was being led because also I was also called to serve in this community. So,
Okay, so for Crystal, her word will be the fear of God. There's a sense of a fear of God in her life that even though she feels that I want to go, but perhaps for you, if God didn't say so, you better not move. And therefore, she chose to stay. Isn't that great? That's wonderful.
For me, I guess we have a community here. For myself, I have a community here that I've been around for about 8 years or so. And I mean, I serve in the worship team. We have a connect group that's been around for many, many years. And we love one another, love the community that we are in, and helping to support and encourage one another through our lives. That's why I stay.
Okay. So I guess for you, like Kenneth, it's a depth of relationship. And these are the people that you have fought with and played with and got dirty with and everything that come together. Okay, very good. Okay, in your opinion, what makes a church community attractive?
I really chose the wrong seat, didn't I? Well, personally, it's the people.
The people.
And the spirit, right? End of the day, you connect, like I said earlier, when you want the belonging, you want the support. And these are the people that you do life with, and you do your Christian walk with. So these are the people that are going to anchor you down and keep you rooted and stay the journey.
Mm.
So to me, that's what makes a church community.
So I guess for John, he's saying that what makes a church attractive is that people who comes, they're able to find a community that they can bond with, and that it is not just a visitor, but stayers. People that stays, and not just stay to take, but stay to give and to participate in building something together. Very good. Kenneth.
The cross, very nice, right? It's very attractive. I think the place... makes it
that makes it very hard. That means every church must have a stained glass cross.
Every church, only our church have lah. The rest don't have. I think what makes a place an attractive place is when it's very real in the place that you know when you go around. It's more that, it's like doing life together. You know that when you speak to somebody, you're not getting hello, how are you? A very shallow greeting, but you are actually speaking in depth lah with people, and you are getting to know their lives and getting to know people. And I think that is actually what makes a community attractive, and what people see from outside, they will see that that is what will make them want to stay. Mm. Whether they whatever they do outside, whether they are poor, needy, homeless, whoever, right, who comes in, I think when they see that kind of depth, I think they want to be part of it, because I think they don't experience it. That's why they want to be part of it.
I guess for Kenneth, what he's saying is that what makes a community attractive is that one who listens to one another and talk to one another. You know how sometimes we go to church? I mean, you talk to God. Yeah, we go to church because of God, but there are so many people surrounding you, but you never actually connected with any human being at all when you go to church. That's not what a church is supposed to be. A church is meant to be a community that connects with one another. And in other words, after service, you don't rush off. You have time whereby you just touch lives. Of course, you have to go, you just have to go. But you intently touch lives with one another by listening and praying with one another and holding each other up. Very good. Crystal.
A place where there is no judgment, that there are people whom you know who can journey with you in happy times and bad times.
Yeah. Guess for Crystal, she's saying that it is a community who learns how to embrace brokenness. You hear that? It's a community that learns how to embrace brokenness and not take out a list of a standard and say, you have to be like this immediately. If not, I will not accept you. That's really important. A community that gives space to one another to say that I'm still working at things. That's a work in progress kind of a thing. You know? Very good, Crystal. Joe.
For me, I think what makes a community attractive is a community that loves God, loves His works, and loves His people, regardless.
Right. So I guess Joe has been very consistent. He has been using this word called hungry for God, loving God, and wanting His word and everything. And that's great. That's really great, because it points the community upwards and not just at each other in that way. Okay, now it's the flip side of the question. What kills a church community?
What kills a community? When end of the day, the community we're building is God's community. When there's no God, then to me, that kills the community. There's no community. Because you're just hanging around aimlessly, and that's not what we want. Mm.
Excellent answer. I wasn't expecting that, but very good. He said that a church community, when God is absent, when God is no longer placed in the central place of not just worship, but authority. I think sometimes we don't mind having God as a person that we worship. It's a different question of when we have God as a person of authority. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We don't mind worshiping God, but we don't quite want God to be the authority voice in our lives. So I hope and I pray 11:30 will not be a community that loves to worship, but will think twice about obeying Him. Then you missed the point. Am I right to say that? Good. Kenneth.
For me, I think if... what kills the community is if the people in the community think that they are better than others, and they that really kills a community slowly lah. Yeah. I think that really that's very jialat lah for me. I think a community that like they will talk bad about people behind their back because they feel that they are better, yeah, or somebody's not good enough, yeah, somebody is not even good. Why is he doing here? Then slowly the community will be eaten up lah, yeah, inside.
Excellent. Very good. Crystal.
A community where there's no more love for each other. Mm. Yep.
No more love. And I was then what? No more love and become?
That means it's dead.
Very fake.
Yeah.
very fake to one another.
Yeah.
Have you been to such a community before? Whereby people just fake with each other? Then it kills it. Very good.
Earlier I mentioned about community, attractive community is loving God and loving His works. And I think that's great, but I think sometimes if we love His works too much and forget about God, and then it's all about doing this, doing that, and, oh, I'm busy with this, busy with that, and we don't take time to reflect why we're doing it, putting God first back into the equation, I think that sometimes spreads throughout the community and just doing good, you end up just doing good works without God.
Yeah. Good. So he has been very consistent still talking about hungry for God, putting God in the highest place, right? Let's give them all a hand. Well done. Okay. So coming back to this about authentic and attractive community, I really love this interview thing because you do not know what you can come out of it, what kind of answers might come out of it. One time, I did it with a church camp. And the church camp had 1,000 people in the camp, and we were in Malacca, I think. And I asked this question, and there was a camper. He was, I think, about 80 years old. He's been in that church for 70 years, the oldest church member, right? So I asked him about, so what do you like about this church community? His answer was, I hate this church. I was stunned. The whole camp, and no one talked, and I didn't know what to do. Yeah, so I burst out in a nervous laughter and everybody laughed and I asked him to unpack what he meant. So that was good. I'm glad that it all went well. Okay, anyway, so thank God that there wasn't this kind of stuff later on just now. So that was good. So what does it mean to be an authentic and an attractive community? I want to point out to you that you now, because this is your first service, you now have the greatest opportunity to craft who you are and what you will become. You have. This is a fantastic opportunity. Do you know that not many church services get a chance to do something like this? Most of them have to undo what was done before. And now you have a brand new opportunity to craft out what you are and what you will become, who you are and what you will become. Therefore, my encouragement to you, 11:30, is to walk your talk. Don't just talk. I think sometimes we talk a little bit too much and that we don't unpack what our words mean. So we use a lot of Christianese. You know Christianese? You're Cantonese, not Teochewese. Christianese, right? You have Christianese. We have learned a bunch of Christian languages, and we use them on one another, but we do not know how that looks like. Don't build a church just like that. A church has to walk its talk. The things that we talk about has to be lived out in order that we can teach about it. In fact, when you look into the first verse in the book of Acts, right, Dr. Luke talked about Jesus, went about teaching what he has been doing. So what is the principle behind that? Jesus do first, then he teach. He doesn't teach first, then he thinks about doing. No, he does. He goes about doing the works, then he teaches the word out of that. So what makes a community authentic and attractive? I'd like to take you to the passage in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 21. But we're just going to look from verse 3 onwards. I have all the scriptures up here. I'm using the Amplified Version because I believe in this passage, it contains what is an authentic and attractive community. I mean, my desire for you is to present this to you that you will consider embracing this as your values in 11:30 and live it out. This is what it says. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly. In other words, to esteem oneself over much than you ought. Rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given to you. That's exactly what Crystal or Kenneth talked about. Just as each of us has one body with the many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, then let him use it in a proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of the others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If he's showing mercy, then let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. This is what you do. So from verse 3 to verse, what verse is this? To verse 3 to verse 7 is what you do. Okay? Verses 3 to 7 is what you do. Verse 8 onwards is who you are. This is what he says. Love must be sincere. And in other words, without hypocrisy, without mask, hate, utterly detest what is evil. Cling, keep company to what is good. Be devoted, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. Honor, price tag each other above yourself. Outdo one another in honoring. This is what it says. Next, never be lacking or tardy in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor as its boiling point. Serving, be in bondage to God. Be joyful, be well off in hope and expectations. Patient, stay under in affliction, burden or tribulation. Faithful, be consistently diligent in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality, which in Greek it says philoxenia, which means entertain strangers. Entertain strangers. How many of you have been to Scotland before? Do you come from Scotland? You don't come from Scotland. So, I was doing a leadership program in a place called Glasgow. You know, typical Singaporean, we are sun, we are about the shine and everything. And Scotland is just grey, right? It rains most of the time. So I lived in a Warren base that is about 120 years old. The walls were very thick, they were stone. So it's very miserable. It's wet, it's damp. I got out, the sun came out, so I ran outside to catch some sun, only for 10 minutes, and then the sky became grey. So it started to rain, and I was just walking back to the Warren base. I met a couple on the street, and then the couple came up to me and said, "Oh, you're new here." So straight out of a conversation, and we begin to talk. And then the couple asked me, are you free? Do you have time? Would you like to come to our house for a cup of tea? I said, "Oh, yeah, sure, okay." Go follow them to a cup of tea. As I was walking to the house, I could smell baking in the oven. And I thought, wow, you left your oven on and then you go out to walk. I mean, this is unthinkable, right, for us in Chinese. And so they left the baking on and then they went out for a walk. And then they found me and they brought me back. I said, "Oh, you're baking something and then you went out for a walk. Are you expecting anyone to come for something, you know?" He said, "Yes, we bake just in case we meet a stranger." And you are the one. They are not even Christians. And I thought to myself, my goodness, what kind of people is this? Oh my God, back to Scotland again if this is how life is. The concept of wanting to open up our homes and our places to strangers. Hey, look at all of us. We're so scared of stranger. Right? Those of us who are parents, we tell our children, "When stranger talk to you, you better run away." Right? We create fear amongst our people to avoid strangers. Of course, there are all kinds of people out there. But biblical principle says don't be afraid of them. Entertain strangers in there. Bless, speak well of those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony, be interested with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate, to take off together with people of low position, lowly, depressed, humiliated, and do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, and I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome. Do not be subdued by evil. Instead, overcome evil with good. Every one of these scriptures here, from verse 3 to verse 21, are principles that you can apply in your community here. And so, my closing word is, love like Jesus. Because when you love like Jesus, all men will know who you are. All men will know who you are if you learn to love like Jesus. So my final word to you is this. Create a community that people can feel belong. People can believe. And out of that, people will behave. Create a community for people to feel belong. In that place of belonging, people will then believe. And then they will behave. So as new friends welcome, here's my call to you. To be 100% present and committed to this service. To be intentionally build this God-centered, authentic, and attractive community. And my desire for you is this. Within 1 year, you will give headache to Ken and Terry because it's too small already. This room will be too small for you because you have outgrown yourself. In closing, this is what I'd like you to do. I love doing this. I would like all of you here to turn your chairs and to face them. And I'd like all of you here to turn your chairs and to face them. Could you just do that? Just turn your chairs. Can we have more likes, please? Can we turn on more likes? Thank you. All right. Don't worry, I'm not asking you to do anything weird, all right? I just want you to, and all those on the back rows, if you're the last two rows, could you just stand? If you're the last two rows, could you please stand? Yeah, if you're the last row, last two rows, please stand. I once spoke in a church in Amsterdam. And this church, the name of this church is called the Church on the Crossroad. It's an interesting church because the church auditorium sits about 1,200 people. And in that 1,200 people, there are close to 180 nations in that one service. 180 nationalities in that one service. The challenge for me was the pulpit. The pulpit is right in the middle. Can you tell me where do you face? I mean, typical Chinese, you feel that you cannot show this to your people, right? So you do not know. Stop looking. So you do not know where to face. You know where to. So I walk. I literally preach walking around like this. But in the midst of that, I realized something that is so beautiful. They could see each other's face. I want you to think. When you go to church services on Sunday, what do you normally look at? Each other's head. Where they comb their hair, whether they got kutu or what, you know? We look at each other's head. We don't look at each other's face. But the church that Jesus has built for us is not one that only look at each other's head, but rather each other's face. To talk to each other, to love each other, and to embrace each other. If you would do this, I can guarantee you, God will send nations to you. He will. You will be a community that will attract young adults, young people of all ages that will just come. You know, let me tell you this honestly, all across Singapore right now, the Christianity in Singapore right now, we say that we are 20% nationwide. This figure is not actually real because we keep on adding on, but we do not subtract those who have left the church. We also don't subtract those who have died. So we keep adding on to our numbers and say, whoa, Christianity is 20% of the nation's population. Yeah, we are growing, but there are many, many people who are also leaving the church. If you look at all across Singapore churches' demographic, especially our Anglican church, we have in our Anglican church communion a missing generation of ages 20 to 35. 20 to 35. They are leaving and they're running away. And there are not many young adults church services, there are not many English services that focuses on young adults and young people left. And I pray that you will be one of those that people can come home and say that I feel at home here because I can be where I am struggling and yet be received and accepted. So I would like to pray a prayer of blessing over you. But after I pray, I would like Canon Terry to pray for you. Because as a vicar of the church, he's your father and he opens up this space for you to have this. And I pray that you will be blessed because of that. Heavenly Father, I can see you smile as you look at this community here. I can see your heart overwhelmed with a sense of hope and expectations because of all the possibilities that you see through 1130, through St. Andrew's Cathedral. God, you planted St. Andrew's Cathedral here at the heart of the city. You planted 1130 here at the heart of the city. And your heart overwhelms with all the possibilities of what this can become. And I pray this, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let all that you have desired be accomplished, be done. And I pray for every one of you here that you do not look to someone else to build this community, but that you carry that responsibility to build a community that God wants. So I pray for you that you will be 100% present here and that you will stay and commit yourself to build God's house. I bless you in Jesus' name.